The wind out there is nothing compared to the wind in here, I know. I heard that, amen. All right. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. And there are times when you just know where you're going to go in a chapter. You look at it and you say, I know where this is going, because it's pretty much plain. Like, the sin of Achan, that's going to go in a certain direction. And the Lord takes you in a little bit different direction. But as I looked at this chapter, in Joshua chapter 8, I was really at a loss to figure out where. I said, Lord, you got to show me something, because I just don't have anything. Other than the obvious, and the Lord said, hey, you, why don't you go with the obvious? I said, well, that's a good idea. And so I had that in my mind. I put it in the stew pot, and I had stayed in the hospital with Hannah there the other night. During that night, I just kept on thinking about this passage of Scripture and thinking about it. And then sort of God dropped something in my lap, and I started feverishly writing it down in the dark. Yeah, well, no, actually the light didn't come on. It was dark. She was trying to get to sleep, and I was trying to write this stuff down. And the next day, I could barely read my notes. So the Lord did show me something, but I forgot. No, I'm just kidding. So you're stuck with the usual. No. We looked into this, and some of the things that are, it just, there's times where it looks like we're losing. There are times in our lives that, especially when I read this, it was as if God was telling me, you're going to look like you're going to lose. It looks like Christianity, real Christianity, is losing. Yeah. That we're a sorry bunch of people who are chased and harried about. And how can that be victory? How can there be victory in losing? But I want to look at that this morning. And the last chapter dealt with the defeat at Ai, and this chapter deals with the defeat of Ai. It's the conquest of Ai. The whole battle plan was pretty simple, and we're going to look at that in a moment. Father God, again, we thank Thee for Thy graciousness to us, and we ask that You just guide us today as we look into the Scriptures, that You would help us to understand the things that are written there, that Lord, You've brought these things to light for the people who are here today. Lord, that we can understand and build our lives more fully upon the Word of Christ. Lord, we don't want to look to things that would just make us more intelligent if that was the end process. But Lord God, we know that You want us to be built up in Christ, that we would live according to what You've given by faith, that we wouldn't walk by sight, that we wouldn't walk according to the philosophies of this world, but we would walk according to Thy Word and Thy truth, trusting in Thee at all steps. In Jesus' name, amen. The battle plan was quite simple in the fact that God said, take everybody with you. So they sent a bunch of guys out last time, and it didn't really work out well. They had sin in the camp, and God said, I want you to take everybody with you, and I want you to sort of divide your forces into two. And what you're going to do is you're going to put an ambush behind the city, and you're going to hide there. And what's going to happen is they would go up to Ai, shake their spears and stuff, and the people of Ai would come running out, and of course they would make believe that they were going to run away, and they would run away from the people of Ai, and Ai would say, hey, this happened before. This is just like it happened before. Let's kill them. And so they would chase them out. And of course, while they were chasing them out, the people in ambush would come up, and they would take over the city and start to burn it. And all of a sudden, the people of Ai would say, you smell something funny? And they'd look behind them, and there would be the city on fire, and they'd say something like, uh-oh, we've been had. And they were between a rock and a hard place. They couldn't go forward because all of a sudden Joshua and everybody would stop running and turn around and go, hi. And that's when they would know that something was terribly, terribly wrong. And you say, well, that's not a... It worked. It was simple and it worked, and they were suckers. They come running out, chasing after Joshua, and Joshua and company ran away, and then all of a sudden the ambush took a hold, and Joshua turned around and lifted up the spear. Get them, boys. And that was the end of Ai. As you hopefully remember, as we look through the kings of the land, Ai was one of the kings of the land that we dealt with. And Acts chapter 17, verse 6 sort of puts it in perspective for me. And Psalm 146, verse 9, now you know you're feverishly trying to turn there, you look it. Okay, 17, verse 6 says this: and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the cities, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Ai means an upside down heap of ruin. That's the city's name. I don't know why in the world you would name a city that, but that's exactly what they named it. Ai means an upside down heap of ruin. And if you live in an upside down heap of ruin, if you live in the upside down world, everything's going to look, if something is right side up, it's going to look upside down. Amen? Right. Are you following me so far? Or are you just got a little bit dizzy? Well, that's all right. Because if you look at stuff, and you say, well, I don't get that. Well, look at it from a different perspective. God has a different perspective on things than we do. Amen? Yes. So Ai, they were the upside down. So when the people came, when they were talking about in the book of Acts, he said, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Those guys weren't there to turn the world upside down. Those guys were there to turn the world upside right. And what happens? You ever see one of those little snow globes? You know, you shake the thing. When you turn it upside down, you shake it, everything. And then when you put it right side up, all the little fake snowflakes, they just come settling down. And after a while, everything settles down. But it looks kind of confusing for a while. We are in the midst, in our lives, things are terribly upside down. This world is upside down. Ever since sin came into the world, everything got turned on its head. This is not the way things should be. But it's the way they are. We live in a crooked world. We live in a world that's upside down. And Psalm says this: the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. On that day when Joshua attacked the city, everything that they held dear, everything that they knew was suddenly turned upside down. But it wasn't really turned upside down. It was turned upside right. They weren't the rightful heirs of Ai. They thought they owned everything in Ai, but really God owned it all, and he was about to give it to his people. He turned everything right side up. You know, we're so used to looking at things from Ai's perspective, we don't know which way is up and which way is down sometimes, do we? We're so used to looking at things the way the world looks at it. Amen? Come on, we've been raised in the world. We live in the world. And our philosophies, if you were anything like me, that, you know, and I hope to God you're not, but I have a funny feeling you are, that you were raised by the idiot box, that your worldly philosophies and sometimes your worldly philosophies bang right against God's Word, and you start going, wait a minute, and you do the double blink, and you say, oh, that's not right. Something's wrong here. And then you realize you're wrong. God's right. God's always been right. My philosophy is upside down. Until I straighten it out with God's Word. When I start straightening it out with God's Word, then I got a little bit of peace. I know that God's right. Here's the idea. The idea was that the people of God would look like they were losing. But victory was sure. It was all part of the plan. It was all part of the plan of God. And Joshua was in on it. Joshua knew what was going on. Joshua told the people, this is how it's going to work. You're going to run away from the enemy. He said, well, I don't like that idea. Trust me. It's going to work. Just do what I tell you to do. The problem of living in a crooked world, and we do live in a crooked world, where I like that, there's a Christmas song we sing, and though the wrong seems off so strong, the only time that the good guys win is in old episodes of The Lone Ranger, amen? I mean, you say, crime doesn't pay. You've got to be kidding me. Crime pays. They say, well, if you do it by God's way, everything will go good. According to God's plan, it does. But why do the evil people prosper? Why does what do bad things happen to good people? Why does the people who compromise on God's word and do it the worldly way, why do they succeed and you don't succeed? Why do you get, shafted there and the good guys finish last? Why is that? And you can have a really problem with that. You start to look at things like AI looks at it. The upside down heap of ruin, the worldly philosophies seem to be on top. It looks like we're losing. It looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't know if you've been paying attention much to what's going on in the world. Sometimes you just kind of throw up your hands and you just say, never mind. Some other times you just throw up. I don't know. It's just odd times in the world. You look around and you say, what's going on in China? Now, I'm not going to give you the doom and gloom. I'm not a prophet, nor am I a prophet's son, but I'm not dumb. Well, I am dumb to a certain extent, but I'm not completely oblivious to what's going on. You know that China is really gearing up? They are doing some massive work projects over there. They got the hydroelectric. They are craving oil and energy. They don't have what they need. They need more and more. They have one of the greatest militaries in the world. And you say, wait a minute, the United States of America has the greatest military in the world. No, they don't. Who do you think robbed them of all their secrets? Who do you think is paying, China comes in, pays a bunch of people some money, and they give them the military secrets? This has been going on for years. Wait a minute, what about Russia? Yeah, Russia's really doing well. They're selling off all their great arms and all their nuclear weapons at wholesale bargain prices, anything for $1 million. You come in, you can get a ride in a MiG jet these days. If you want to go over and ask the Russian military and say, I'd like to go up for a ride in a MiG jet. That's how they're making their money in their military, by the way. They're doing tour groups. You say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, they're compromised. They're corrupt. They're near bankrupt. And they are in desperate need of oil. You say, that's scary. Because guess who's south of them? All sorts of oil sands, and you've got the United States in there kind of poking around in Iraq, and Russia's going, I'd like a little piece of this pie. And then you've got, of course, China going, wait a minute, we want a little piece of this. Things are starting to heat up in the world. Things are starting to look a little bit different. Then you've got the United States of America, and I never thought in my lifetime that the Canadian dollar would be above the American dollar. I never thought it was possible. You say, why? I don't know. It's just something you take for granted. What is it trading at these days? 107. Doesn't that make you feel good when you call those American companies? Well, you better think about that. Because our economy is hooked to their economy. And if their dollar's going down, I'll give you a clue. Guess who's dumping all sorts of American stocks and they're getting rid wholesale? They're just dumping everything that they got to deal with America. China. Europe is on the rise. I think the Bible talks about that. You say, well, that doesn't sound good. The world's economy is set up for a collapse and an integration. There is going to be very soon, a massive North American collapse. There's going to be a recession and there's going to be a depression. You say, well, how do you know that? Look around. Look around. What's going on these days? Do you think the Canadian dollar will stay up when the American dollar goes down? Something's up. Sniff the wind. You say, well, I don't think I like that idea. What about the socialists and the communists? What about Big Brother, who's always watching, knowing everything you do? They can take pictures, and what is that? Google Earth. We looked at that the other day. Oh, my. And we just got the cheapy, cheapy free thing, and you can go right down, straight to the city street, and look at cars in New York City. Whew. There it is. Don't tell me the government doesn't have something better than that, watching you. Don't tell me they don't know where you go, what you do, what you buy, where you go, what you even think. You say, well, that's not very comforting. What about all the global disasters that are going on? The wars and the rumors of wars. Being a Christian, there's a lot of anti-Christian, anti-true Christian sentiment out there. And linked with that, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. And a lot of anti-Semitic sentiments out there these days. You say, why? Wait a minute, we put that to rest, with the concentration camps and stuff, never again, never again. It's coming again. And it's coming in waves. It's getting more popular. You say, why? The one world system is coming. The mark of the beast is coming. Nice little microchips they put under your skin to do the trading and all that. You say, well, that's a thing of the future. No, it's here now. There are people who've got this stuff and they're doing lots of banking or whatever. They're doing with the nice little chip in here or in here. And you think, wait a minute, that's science fiction. No, that's in the world today. Again, take a look at a European coin, the euro. Man, that's just a shocker. You got the woman rides the beast on the back of it. And you think, how blatant do you need to be? You say, well, you're making this stuff up. Look, the Bible's talked about this stuff. Don't push it off. What about liberal Christianity? It's the most popular form of Christianity today. Liberal Christianity. Well, we'll all get together for our Christian rock concert, and then we'll have a so-called message to reach the masses. And you've got this popularized Christian. You got churches like Saddleback Baptist Church, and they got the great big massive thing. You say, well, that's what it's all about. That's what's going on these days. And why is that so popular? The Bible is scoffed at. If you take the Bible literally, you are looked at as a cult. If you say, no, I believe the Bible literally. I don't believe that, I'm going to take that figuratively. You can't really take the Bible seriously. You say, well, no, I believe it. And they say, do you believe that book has no errors in it? I believe that this book has no errors in it. It is pure. It is the Word of God. And if you say that, people say, well, you're just a kook. The one world ecumenical movement is surging. Things look bleak. Things look bleak. And I bet you at this point you're thinking, man, I'm glad I came to church this morning. I am so glad I came to church to be encouraged. It looks like we're losing. Where are the fundamental Bible-believing Christians? Yeah, few and far between is a remnant. You think, man, we're losing. That's part of the plan. We're not losing at all. We're winning. Say, are you insane? Do you not see how the world's going? Yeah. But I also read the book. It's part of God's plan. Hey, don't get so caught up, man, the people in Joshua's time when they're running away from the people of Ai, they probably get caught up in that a little bit too. But they knew what the plan was. They knew that, hey, this flight's not going to last too long. Before too long, we're going to turn around and Ai is going to go down. We know that. Joshua told us the battle plan. He commanded us. And God commanded him. We're just doing what Joshua told us to do. And we know the plan. Don't get upset, guys, when the world starts to collapse or pulls in a little bit and we start seeing the mark of the beast and all this stuff and the people are jockeying in a position in the Middle East. You say, oh no, this is horrible. It's okay. We're winning. You say, well, it doesn't feel like we're winning. That's because we're running. We're supposed to look like we're losing. Say, is this a cheap trick? Is this some sort of psychology? No, I'm telling you, Bible. Let's turn to a couple places here. All part of the plan. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm just going to give you these really lightning fast, and you can mark them down. I'm going to read some of these. But you know them. You know these scriptures, and you should be familiar with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power of God? The Word of God is the power of God, and you deny the Word. But you're denying the power of godliness. Denying the power thereof from such, turn away. Does this take God by surprise that this is going to happen? No, God said this is going to happen in the last days. Perilous times shall come. Run away. Flee. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come. For the time will come. The time has come. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I'd say the time's already here. Now, am I going to get worried about this? No, God said it would happen. Now, it can irritate me when it happens, but it's going to happen. God said it's going to happen, and I shouldn't get mad at God because it happened just the way He said it would. This is happening in our world today. It's part of the plan. God knew what was going to happen. He knew how the people of Ai would react. He knew that they would see them put the flight and say, let's go out and get them. He knew their character. He knew their appetites. And God said, there it is. Set it up just so. And God knows exactly what's in the heart of man. He knows what we're like. He knows how the world's going to act. And it's there. He's told us what's going to happen before it's even going to happen, before it happened. Acts chapter 20 says this, for I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Matthew says this, Matthew 24, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Ante, in place of, vicar. I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Don't worry about it. For all these things, what? Must come to pass. It's part of the plan. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Say, that's not a very rosy picture, sir. It's not. But neither is being chased by a bunch of people from AI a rosy picture. The upside down heap of ruin is putting to flight the people of God, and you say, well, that's just not right. Don't worry about it. That's right. We win. We win. We win. You can take a child of God, and you can read. There's a book called Martyr's Mirror, and it just scares me to read it. When I read some of those accounts of young men and young women, old men, old women, the one young man, he was, I can't remember, 14 or 12 or some young age, and he stood before the very Caesar, and Caesar told him, he said, look, recant. You're young. You got your whole life ahead of you. Don't do this. I'm going to give you a chance. Just offer the little offering, and that's all you got to do. And I'll overlook everything else because you're young. Now, this is rare for a Caesar to do this. The young man said, no. And he said, son, they're going to take horses. They're going to take four horses. They're going to tie your arms and your legs, and they're going to pull in different directions. It's called drawn and quartered. Don't do this. And the boy said, ah, that's what I'm going to do. I want that because I'm not going to deny my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he went to his death. And he said, wait a minute. Caesar won. That boy won. It looked like he was being put to flight. It looked like he was being put to death. But he was given a wonderful treasure on that day. You say, what are you, insane? No, he was given a crown, a martyr's crown. And it wasn't going to be taken away from him. He chose the right thing. You say, it didn't look like he did. Victory is sure. Remember, God said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Joshua was with the people. You know where Joshua slept that night? He camped with the people. Remember in Joshua chapter 8, talk about, and Joshua slept with the people that night. He stayed there and camped with them. You know the name of our God is Emmanuel? God with us. Lo, I am with you always. Our Joshua hasn't left camp. Our Joshua hasn't left and said, you're on your own and I hope you make it all right. And by the way, when things get really bad, then I'll come back and I'll be with you. Then I'll bring the cavalry up. No. Our Joshua, although he is coming back for us, he's also with us. He's never left us. There's not one moment in your Christian life where you can say, he's not with me. Now you might have offended him, and you might not be in fellowship with him, but he's never left your side. He encamps with us, not only him, but all the hosts of God. The world looks out and sees in the Christian defeat. I tell you that God looks out and sees the Christian in victory. We get caught up maybe in this temporary retreat. We see the evil triumph and we see loss. It may look like we've lost, but we're winning. Here's the purpose of the retreat, Romans 8:28, and you know it. And we know that all things work together for what? For good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Remember what Joseph said to his brethren? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Here's the purpose of the retreat. Trust me. Don't trust what you see. You trust what I say. Trust me. It's called walking by faith. Trust your captain that he's in control. Trust our captain and trust his plan. You put all your eggs in his basket. That's what a Christian does. All my eggs go in his basket. I don't diversify. You know? Oh, well, this might not do well. You know, that's what the world does. Hey, you know, I might want to say a prayer to God because, you know, you don't want to make Him angry and you want to be on His good side. But, you know, what happens if this one's right? So I'll say a little prayer here and, you know, we'll do our little diversification plan. You ain't going to do that with God. It's Him or nothing. You say, well, I wanna say my rosary here and I wanna be sprinkled, but then I'll go over here and maybe I'll be baptized and maybe I'll go into this little place. Hey, you choose. Choose the right path. God says, I hate every false way. And if God hates every false way, you know He loves the good way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The Christian, it doesn't look like we're winning. It doesn't look like we're going to do well in this whole one world system thing. It doesn't look like the good guys always win. It looks like crime pays. It looks like you can do whatever you please and it doesn't make a difference. That's the way it looks. It looks like the evil are prospering in the world. That's what it looks like. But God says, trust me. That's not the way it is. It's the evidence of things not seen. The purpose of the retreat was this, that they would gain a great reward. Ai was to be burned. But unlike Jericho, they got to keep everything that was in it. We will inherit everything we can out of this world. Everything of value in this world we get. You say, wow, I'm going to get lots of gold? Nope. Because gold's just a rock. And it's not going to be worth much. Actually, it's not going to be worth anything. They're going to pave the street with it. Amen? Well, what do you mean, diamonds? No. They're a dime a dozen. Pearls. Man, they got pearls so big in heaven that they got to make gates out of them. That's a big oyster. I don't know. What am I going to get? Everything worth having in this world. The real treasure. The world and the upside down philosophy thinks that things... You know, I have a vehicle. Well, actually, the bank still has some of the vehicle, but it's in sort of like bankatory. It's like purgatory, you know, you make the thing. Piece by piece, we're praying it out, eh? I'm telling those bankers are the Vatican, huh? But I have a vehicle, and you know, when you first get the vehicle, because it's a used vehicle, you go, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. And thank God I got a vehicle. I'm so thrilled that I can put some of my family in the vehicle and go. It's good. Don't get me wrong. But you know, I've noticed something about it. Yes! It's resting. And I get the little dauber out, you know, the little thing that comes with the vehicle, the little, the stuff that's supposed to be the same color as the rest of your van, and it's not. I don't know, they just do that on purpose. Watch this. And they just make it a little shade different. So you're out there and you're daubing and you're going, then I'll see this. And it doesn't make a difference because, well, there you go, and you put a little bit on. It's getting corrupted. And if I said my whole value in my whole life is my car, I'm going to leave it to my children and my grandchildren. It's not going to be worth watch, is it? My dad used to run a junkyard. I remember going out and jumping on the hoods. I'm a little bit heavier now than I was then, but I don't think you could do that. I wouldn't send one of my kids out to jump up and down on car hoods and stuff. Pop cans. Used to be they're made out of metal or something, right? They had more gas back then, or they just charged a lot less for it. You say, well, wait a minute. That's not what's worth anything in this world. The accumulation of stuff. But everything that is of true riches, I get to keep. I spoil Ai. I'll give you a rich. Here's some riches. I'll read you this first. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures, where?
In
heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, for there where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's the treasure. Here you're standing there one day and somebody comes up and says, "You're a Christian?" Yes, I'd like to share with you just a few words about the Lord Jesus Christ, how you can know you're saved, and somebody spits in your face. Maybe gives you a bloody nose. Congratulations. You say, "I don't want that kind of riches." They just made a deposit in your bank account in heaven. They just did you a big favor. You spoiled them. You took from them a blessing. They meant it as a curse. But God saw it as a blessing. And God's going to bless you for that. Case in point, we give. We give our tithes and our offerings, and we give to God. And the world would say, "Are you crazy? You can't afford it. Don't do that." God says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And I'm not talking about, "Ooh, I'm going to mark it down." God gives in other ways. God gives. You can't outgive God. You give. Matthew chapter 5, here's the plan. And this is the part that doesn't make sense, because it's not, AI doesn't get this, and they never have. And I've heard preachers, liberal preachers, try to preach on this and try to make it work for the lost people of this world. If you're lost, don't you try to live by this, because it's not going to work for you. It doesn't work for the lost. You don't get any treasure. You don't get any treasure from AI from this. If you're a member of AI, if you're a lost person, don't try to live by the Beatitudes, because it doesn't work for you. You're not getting any treasure in heaven. Somebody comes up and kicks you in the shin, kick him back. If you're a part of the, if you're in the world, don't give me this passive stuff. Works. Might makes right in this world. It's proved over and over. But God's got a different plan. God's got a totally different plan. And it doesn't make sense to the world, never has. Nor should it, because it doesn't work. But for the child of God, this is going to work for you. Because you're going to get real treasure out of this one. Let me read it for you. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Humble. Blessed are the humble. You know, you work for a company. Those of you who work for companies, and those of you who have been out in the world, and you looked around, you know, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease sort of thing. No, but it's even worse than that. It's the big shot, loud mouth, foghorn, leghorn that usually gets the promotion, and whatever, you know, the self-promoter, the go-getter. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You've got to choose. Do you want the kingdom of heaven, or do you want the kingdom of this earth? Well, here's the good news. We get them both anyway. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek. The meek. Isn't that weak? No, that's power under control. Very good control. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now there's a certain principle that works. There's a certain principle of giving and sowing and reaping, and that's in effect. But as far as treasures in heaven goes, if you're lost, this does not apply to you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I have problems with these verses. Not because they're not right. It's because my mind that was trained in AI blinks when I see it. And I try to get it into my head how this is going to work. And sometimes I have trouble figuring out how it's going to work. But you know, it's not up to me. My job is just to do the plan. Let God figure out how it's going to work out. Because He said it would. There was a plan involved here. Remember the brothers of Joseph? Again, it looked like they were winning. Remember Potiphar's wife? Lied about Joseph. Man, lied about him. Got him thrown in jail. She wins. There was coming a day when Joseph would be ruler in the land. And I'm sure she wouldn't venture out on the streets when Joseph was going to be around. She spent probably a good many nights sweating. Okay. And I remember Potiphar was a little bit shaky too. You know who's ruling the city now? Who? Joseph. Oh, that's not good. They didn't win. Joseph won. Remember Joseph's brothers were humbled before him? Just when AI seemed to be triumphing, the people of God prevailed. Folks, it's all according to plan. Don't you worry about it. It looks like you're losing, but you're not. Turn to Psalm 73, if you please, just quickly now. Quickly turn there, of course. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And as you turn there, in Matthew it says, you've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. But a man will sue thee, the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whatsoever shall compel thee to go a mile with him, go with him twain. And you read those and you think, I don't get it. I don't get it. How can that make me win? Peter said, lo, we've left all and followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Psalm 73. We're going to end with this. I just want to read through this. And I know you've read it before, but I want you to catch it. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment.
Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongues walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. They say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Just hold it right there. Retreat. Running away from AI. It looks like we're losing. And this man, the psalmist, looks like we're losing. This isn't good. Until. And here's where it changes. And here's where Joshua puts the spear out. Joshua turns and puts the spear out. And smoke can be smelled. And the people of Ai stop in their tracks. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Then I understood. This is according to plan. We win. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. That pretty much sums it up. We win. Whether you think so or not, you're winning. Christians in this world today, real Christians, are winning. Right, we're not going down. Christ has not lost. The Bible has not lost. The Bible wins. Christ wins. You win. You're on His side, you win. If you're not on His side, you lose. And it doesn't make a difference if they pull all the armies of the world together. If they have one world system and they're pulling all the stuff in so that it sort of lines up to the end times and all the stuff is culminating. And they start taking away your rights. And the Sodomites run everything. And the liberals are in leadership. They lose. And you can't because one day our Joshua is going to hold out the spear. AI is going down.
until that time, just enjoy the walk. Just enjoy the walk. Because we win. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, again, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful grace. Lord, it's good to know that we win. Lord, we could get awful discouraged in this old world if we looked around and judged things according to what we see. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, but You said it would. You're holding the handbasket. So it doesn't worry us, although some things, they creep up, and sometimes, Lord, I get caught up. I get caught up in the philosophies of AI. I get caught up in the way that I used to think. Lord, I get caught up in the flight. Lord, help me to realize that there's a plan. There's a bigger plan. And I'm part of that bigger plan. Because we're on the winning side. And it's not over till it's over. So one man said, Lord, it's all okay. It's all okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. Lord, the end will be someday. And we know exactly because we've read the last chapter of the book. And Lord, it thrills our souls to know that although this body seems like it's losing, we're winning. And they can only give us treasures in heaven by opposing. Lord, I thank You for these things. Help me to be bright enough to actually see it. In Jesus' name, amen.